Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress-them-on-the-third-date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, good to be with you. You know, it's interesting. We were just talking about Alabama players, and Texter brings up a good point. You know, the Texans, of course, have had good success drafting Alabama players of late. Two in 2022 and then two again in 2023. No more Nick Saban, maybe the end of half of the Texans draft being Alabama alums. I did think about that this weekend, Seth. We can ask Nick about that on Wednesday when he joins us. Nick Caserio joining us at 7:30 on Wednesday. But I do wonder, like, if Nick Caserio seeing Nick Saban retire is kind of like watching a restaurant that you love to go to every weekend. All of a sudden the chef leaves and you're like, okay, well, I'm not sure how great the dinners are going to be. I mean, I'm sure they'll still be pretty good. It's an upscale restaurant. They're not going to go get some scrub. But that's been pretty fertile ground for the Texans in the draft, you know?
He mentioned specifically, like, with defensive backs.
Yep.
After they drafted Lassiter, that Georgia and Alabama are probably the best at coaching up the defensive backs. So, yeah, there's a certain element of toughness and a certain element of, like, refinement, I think, that you get from Alabama defensive prospects especially that – Yeah, I don't think that you can't just assume that it's going to be that way moving forward. Not to mention, you just don't know now with any of these colleges, like, how many guys are even going to, like, spending 3 or 4 years with Saban is a lot different than transferring in and spending 1 year with somebody else.
Yep.
So, one thing he said about Lassiter, he was talking about just how well coached he was and that's important. I got a text from Dan Matthews, who's now back in town but was in Atlanta for like a decade.
Yeah.
He said two things to keep in mind. One was that he played special teams really well at Georgia because Kirby uses starters on special teams. Two was that Georgia players used to talk about how practices were tougher than the games. They would go full contact on Tuesdays and call it Bloody Tuesday. And
three, oh, really?
Yeah.
I love that.
So, like, yeah, I mean, well, like, same thing as it is in Alabama. There's certain programs where you just don't worry about whether guys can handle tough coaching or anything.
Great point.
That's how the SWAC has been forever, too, is like some of those – there's a tradition in the SWAC of some of those schools where they just – they have brutally difficult practices. So, like, you get a guy from a lot of the SWAC schools. I don't know. It's probably changed over time. But, like, you get it from some of those SWAC schools, like, those guys don't mind being coached hard or, like, practicing hard because it's nothing like what they had to do in college.
Here was Nick Caserio on Friday night after the Texans drafted Kamari Lassiter. Here's Caserio on Lassiter.
Lassiter is position flex. He's played in the perimeter of the formation. He's played inside the formation. I'd say he plays with a, I'd say, a linebacker type mentality. I mean, he's a corner, but he tackles. He's tough. He's physical. I'm sure there'll be a question about his speed and how fast he ran, but he's not slow. So, like, the speed really wasn't a concern of ours. So, the time's the time, but, like, we're drafting football players. You know, we're not drafting track teams. So, I know speed's important. I'm not saying speed's not important, but we don't feel that that's an issue for this particular player. And when you watch him play in the SEC, you don't walk away and have that concern.
I think there's an interesting thing about Lassiter that intrigues me. And remember, especially in the second round, like, everybody's going to have things they need to work on. First round, everybody has things they need to work on.
Sure.
But with Lassiter, a lot of the things that are areas of improvement for him are also specifically tied to things that are very positive about him. So, for one, like, he's really good at anticipating routes and recognizing and anticipating routes. But in doing so, sometimes he gets a little too aggressive, and he can be beat that way if he guesses wrong, you know, and gets beat. Not even on a double move. Sometimes he just guesses wrong, and he gets beat on a cut. So that does happen. But I think that's very coachable. The other is that he has an appetite for destruction in a very good way. Like, he will fly up and just torpedo himself towards anybody and everybody. But in doing that, sometimes he comes in a little out of control or with bad form or with bad leverage. But the willingness is there, and the good plays are there too. There's plays that he makes in the backfield where it's really nice tackling. There's others where he's a little out of position. So I'm optimistic that the things he needs to work on are very correctable. One of the things that doesn't show up on a 40 time, but that I know drives people insane if they don't have this skill, is that he is really, really good at, like, when he's face guarding a guy, reading the receiver's eyes, knowing when the ball is coming, turning and disrupting instead of sticking his hands up in the air and hoping for the best. Like, he does. That's why it's so weird that he's not that great at actually catching the ball.
Yeah.
Because he's incredible at actually getting up and making a play on the ball. But there's not... He's not so great at actually coming down with the ball. Maybe. But otherwise, he really does some of the harder to coach, more infuriating things really, really well.
Here's Kirby Smart. If you're wondering what the mentality of Kamari Lassiter is, this was Kirby Smart on Lassiter's decision to play in the bowl game this season. Keep in mind, they were playing Florida State, who played nobody. They beat Florida State like a drum because Florida State just, everybody opted out of the game. Kamari Lassiter was not going to opt out of that game.
Kamari Lassiter had a 1-2 grade. First, second round grade. And Kamari had to make a tough decision, like all these other people. And I called Kamari in and I talked to him and I told him, Kamari, you should come out for the draft. That's my opinion. You're one of the top corners in the draft. You got to make that decision. Okay, that's one decision. Then the second decision is you got to decide if you want to play in this bowl game. I don't know that you got a lot to gain in this bowl game, Kamari, but I do know who you are. And I do know how you practice, and I do know how you lead, but I'm not going to be disappointed in anything you decide. He came back about 3 or 4 days later, and I met with him and his mom and talked to him and fully expected him not to play in this game. He called me 2 days later, said, Coach, I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm sitting out. I'm over there coaching. I can't do it. I want to be out there. I want to play with my guys. And I think he did it against his mother's will, to be honest. Now, I don't know that, but I think he did it against his mother's will because that's who he is. So all these teams that go shopping, this dude right here wants to play football. That's all he cares about is playing football and his teammates. He ain't worried about the next thing and all that and all that. He said, I want to play football. And he played football for the University of Georgia. And he did it when he didn't have to do it. And that's what's different at this place than a lot of other places. Thank you.
This is the thing I'm noticing, I think, is that guys not playing in a bowl game is not a check against them because so many guys are doing it nowadays, but it's very much a check in your favor if you do it. Like, yeah. Will Anderson and those guys, I mean, that's one thing. That the stark disparity between the recruiting conversations Nick Saban was having this past year with NIL and everything compared to, like, his recent experience with Will Anderson, where Will Anderson and the other guys who were leaving in the draft that year got together in a non-playoff bowl game, which for Alabama is a letdown, and said, like, no, we're playing in this game.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was big, and I think the Texans probably would have drafted him anyway, but I know they were really impressed
they
that he
like
played
that.
In that bowl game.
Yeah, they like that. Then that's where we have fun with Bryce Young on this show, but Bryce Young played in that bowl game that you're talking about with Will Anderson.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's against Kansas State.
The cynical side of me right here, Sean, would say, all right, Kirby's a smart dude. He probably figures, you know, I don't really have any control over whether he's going to go off in the draft or not. But as long as I make a big show of showing him that I want the best for him, you know, maybe I get... If I wasn't going to get him coming back and if I wasn't going to get him in the bowl game, I'll really show my love and how I respect his decision, you know, and they, no, it's your choice completely. I don't want you to feel bad about it. And that's enough. My coach kept me from transferring that way my junior year.
Oh, really?
In college.
Okay.
Yeah. Came in, like, basically gave me the speech about how he loves me and he wants the best for me. And he's if I transfer to a bigger school, he'll cheer for me and everything. And I felt like, oh, this is a person I've always needed in my life. I can't do it, and I stayed.
I just like how Kirby used that whole minute and a half of audio at the end to make it about the University of Georgia. Like, he billboarded the whole thing at the end. He's like, that's what we've got here at Georgia. Thank you. And he walks off. Yeah.
12-dimensional chess,
that's
Sean.
That's it, man. That's what he's doing. All right, let's get to some of these. We'll rapid-fire some of these because we got to get to Cade Stover. But Blake Fisher, tackle Notre Dame, goes 59th. Here was Nick Caserio on Blake Fisher.
6'5 and a half, 315 pounds, long arms. Plays strong, plays physical, played against good competition, well coached. The offensive line coach, former offensive line coach at the University of Wisconsin. So played with JP. So, I mean, I think our program will benefit him, but you can't have enough tackles in your building. So, I mean, right now we have, I mean, really four, including Charlie and David Sharp, who we signed. You know, Blake is another tackle, but we're going to carry probably four tackles. So you're going to need three, and you all have seen his play. At some point, they're going to have to play.
Yeah, that last part's key, I think. We all followed a team this year that had to start Austin Deculus in week four. You know,
oh, I forgot about that.
The injuries come fast and furious sometimes. You know,
or Austin Deculus. Yeah, that's a man.
And no disrespect, his family listens.
No. Probably. I'm saying like it wasn't. Austin Deculus is going to take. Gosh, how many years is it for him now? It's the third or fourth year.
He was in that 22 class. He was in the Stingley class. Yeah,
I think I still have. I don't know. There's something there with Austin Deculus.
Yeah,
maybe I just like his hair. I don't know. But I don't think he was ready last year.
Sure.
I think that you always need a third offensive tackle. I know McLean tweeted something about this weekend. People are just dead set against ever believing that a pick is best player available. I do think that it's always on a sliding scale, and there's times where, especially in this draft where Caserio is having a hard time moving around via trade as much as he likes to, I think this may have very simply been a case of best player available, that the guys in positions that they really would have liked to draft just weren't there. So at that spot, you're like, okay, who's the best guy on our board? It's Blake Fisher. Here we go.
Yeah, I think there's a good chance like 10 guys they really liked flew off the board in the previous 15 picks in between Lassiter and Fisher getting picked.
And Nick pointed out that a lot of offensive tackles were taken immediately after him. I don't think he was saying it as an argument or anything. But, yeah, two more guys would go in the second round and then a few more early in the third round. So it was one of those bands of players that you're talking about.
Yeah, it was a clump.
Yeah.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Kalen Bullock was the third round pick for the Texans. Safety out of USC. They traded up eight spots. So they finally made a trade up. They didn't move off of 42 and 59, but they did move off of 86. Up to 78, they draft Kalen Bullock. Here's what the Texans are getting, according to Nick Caserio, with Kalen Bullock.
He's rangy. He covers ground. He plays the ball well. He has good movement skills for his safety. He started his career as a corner. I'm not saying he's a corner, but he moves well for his size. He's 6'2", 190 pounds. Honestly, some of his best football is probably in front of him. He needs to get stronger. I mean, he'll be the first to tell you that. So I think there's some developmental opportunities with him relative to his frame. We're talking about a guy at 6'2", 190 pounds, who ran 4.5, that moves well for his size, plays the ball, is instinctive, is an eraser in a deep part of the field, has to improve as a tackler, which goes back to improving his playing strength. So hopefully our program will be beneficial to him in that respect.
So there you go. Kalen Bullock, safety out of USC.
Yeah, I think it's funny. In a lot of ways, he's like the anti-Lonnie Johnson. If you think about it, Lonnie Johnson was a guy who came in as a corner. It turned out to be just way too big to be a corner, so they moved him to safety. Yeah. Bullock's the opposite, which is that, boy, he seems a little too skinny to be a safety in some regards, you know, but you're not – I don't think you should be tempted to move him outside to – you shouldn't move him outside to cornerback at all. His I like that his length is – reflected in his play.
Yes.
You know, like you like to think about like, oh, this tall, lanky safety who can go up and make plays on jump balls and deep balls and everything like that. Yes, he does a really good job of understanding where the ball is going to be and how to get to it. He's willing to be physical. I thought there were some things, the way it was phrased in some of the reports I read this weekend, I think were a little inaccurate in that some people acted like he didn't have an appetite for physicality. He has an appetite to come up and stick people. He's just not sometimes strong enough to do it the right way. So yep. when you hear Nick talk about gaining some strength, yeah, I think like there's certain elements of his game and certain things you might ask him to do. That, like, he's not going to be a box safety anytime soon.
So Nick Caserio, we just played him talking about the three players they drafted on Friday, and very complimentary of all of them, likes all of them, obviously. Very scouting report-ish when it came to kind of his breakdown there. Here was Nick Caserio on Saturday talking about Ohio State tight end Cade Stover, who the Texans moved up a few spots to get in round four.
Yeah, whatever it is, it's elite. I mean, this guy is as tough and hard-nosed a player that they had in the program. Just kind of going back to the question and D'Amico's answer about developing players, I'd say Cade's a good example of a player who's only played tight end for 2 years, so he's certainly not a finished product, but he has the mindset and the work ethic to improve. I mean, how he was raised. I mean, this guy is everything you want in a football player. And then more. I mean, he probably played hurt this year. I mean, I think he had an MCL or had an issue where, quite frankly, it would have limited some other players, but he just braced it up and he just kept playing football. So, I mean, I don't want to speak for D'Amico, but I think we feel the same way. This is probably one of our favorite, like, football players in the entire draft, regardless of position, because of his mentality, because of his mindset. And he still is developing as a player. I mean, 2 years ago, he was playing defensive end in the Rose Bowl against Utah. Now he's, you know, played tight end for 2 years, and here he is getting picked in the bottom of the fourth round, and his position is, you know, we think tight end. That's why we drafted him. So, but I mean, blue collar as they come, and from a makeup, traits, toughness, mentality, I mean, this is an elite guy.
Yeah, I'll tell you another thing too, and I was glad, I'll credit one of our listeners for I had mentioned his blocking Cade Stover before the draft, and one of our listeners after the show texted me with a couple things, or DM'd me with a couple things, and I did. I was guilty of this. I was guilty of reading a bunch of synopses, and I'd watched a little bit of Cade Stover, just highlights and everything, but I hadn't really given credence or even thought about the fact that he's only been playing tight end for a couple years. Like, there are multitudes of examples of him not just blocking, but, like, blocking with really good form. I think there's, but there's also an element that he is still, there's situations he gets caught in at times where you can see that he has a lack of experience and he doesn't have like the bodies. He's not going to be Gronk, you know, nobody ever will be again, probably in the history of the NFL.
Yeah.
So I don't, but I'm not worried at all. A, about his willingness to block. I mean, that's absurd. But B, I think for his body type and everything, I think he'll be just fine because he's going to work at it. So, and then, like, he's another guy. You look at his physicality and the run after the catch. Like, everything that Nick just said about his grittiness and everything, that's all very true.
Use the E word, man. Use the E word twice. Elite. He said it in the beginning and the end. Elite. For the 123rd pick in the draft.
What's the worst E word? Text in 713-572-4610.
Oh, like if we were like, oh God, they called him the E word, that kind of thing. Iguana.
Yeah, I can't think. What Ben?
What'd
say?
You say, Ben?
Iguana. Iguana. Is that an E word? I thought that
no,
was.
I'm
a...
being silly.
Okay. He's being... Look at Ben.
Ben, we're talking to a guy who doesn't know what a chimpanzee is. Hey, so you think he's going to know the proper?
No, I was brushing up. I was playing primate flashcards this weekend. Sean, what is this?
I'm sure there's a really obvious one that I'm missing.
Yeah.
I'm just not wired that way, people.
Right. No, you don't have hate in your heart. Absolutely.
You people need to understand that.
All right. Payne and Pendergast with you here on a Reaction Monday from the draft. If you're looking to get excited about being in the AFC South, we have some audio for you coming up next. The person you're about to hear from is probably going to be running one of the organizations in this division someday, and it's pretty glorious.
Ooh.
You're going to enjoy this. Yes. Coming up next.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.